Today's shiur is entitled Akedat Yishmael. It was given as the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha in my congregation in Cincinnati in the year 5770. Obviously, it is also relevant, however, to Parshas Lech Lecha and the Parsha of Vayera as well. When I presented this shiur initially, I asked the question, why is it that this narrative of Yishmael is read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? The most common answers that one finds are, to give you some examples that I've seen, that since you read Akedat Yitzchak on day 2, so you read about his birth on day 1. Which would mean that this reading has nothing to do with the events in the life of Yishmael, which is also read, as we said, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Alternatively, since God remembered Sarah and had her become pregnant on Rosh Hashanah, according to tradition, and as we speak of Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaZikaron, as the day of remembrance, this again provides a connection between the Parsha and Rosh Hashanah, but also, again, it leaves out the story of Yishmael entirely as bearing any significance whatsoever to the holiday. Furthermore, if these are the reasons, we could stop after the first line of the Torah reading for the day, and we would still have made the necessary connections. My goal in this shiur will be to take a careful look at the texts concerning Yishmael, and to see if we could come up with a deeper answer as a result to this question as to why we read specifically about Yishmael on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. At the same time, we might answer another question as well, which I've always had on these days, which is, why is it that the Torah reading for Rosh Hashanah is not from the Parsha of Bereishit, which focuses upon the creation of man, the event that actually took place, we know, on Rosh Hashanah. In presenting this year, I gave out 36 sources. We went through the source material quite in a detailed fashion. I will be doing it in a more truncated effort for this online presentation. First, in Bereishit, Kaf Aleph, Tet, Yud Tet, Parshat Vayera, we have the following statement that is made. The Parsha of Yishmael. Batera Sarah Eben Hagar Mitzrit, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, Asher Yaldal Yavraham Mitzachek, whom she had given birth to Abraham for, Mitzachek. Now it's interesting, note how he is called the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who gave birth to him for Abraham. Not called Abraham's son. It's called Hagar's son, according to the way Sarah sees it. And she saw him mitzachek. We are not going to define that word for right now. We're going to look at it in a little while. But let's go on as we continue with the discussion. Batomer la Abraham, and she said to Abraham, Sarah did, Gare Shama Azot Vietbina, chase out, exile this woman and her son. Kilo Yirash Ben Amazot Im Bini Im Yitzchak, because the son of this woman, this maidservant, shall not inherit with my son, with Yitzchak. Vayera davar ma'od b'nei Abraham, and the thing seemed terrible in the eyes of Abraham, alodot b'no, concerning the events happening to his son. Vayomer Elokim el Abraham, and God said to Abraham, al yirah b'necha, do not let this seem as a terrible thing in your eyes, ala nar v'alamatecha, concerning the child and your maidservant. Kol asher tamari lecha, Sarah, shema b'kolach. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. Ki b'yitzchak yikare lecha zara, because you will have your seed called through Yitzchak. V'gamet ben ama legoy asimenu, and also the son of this maidservant, also not the son of Abraham, son of this maidservant, I will make him a great nation. Ki zarachahu, because yes, he is your seed. Payashkim Abraham Baboker, Abraham got up early in the morning. We will discuss all these phrases later. Vayikach lechem v'chemat mayim, and he took some bread and a pouch full of water. Vayiten el Hagar, and he gave it to Hagar. Sam al shichma, he put it on her shoulder. V'yeta yelet, along with the boy. Vayishalcheha, and he sent her out. Vatelech vateta, and she went out and she wandered b'midbar Be'er Shava, in the desert of Be'er Shava. Vayichlu amayim mina chemet, and the water was used up from the pouch. Vatashlech et hayeled, and she sent forth the child, maybe threw him down, tachat achat hasichim, under one of the trees, the thorn trees that were there. Vatelech vateshevla, and she went and she sat mineged harchek kintachavi keshet, the amount of distance that it would take to send an arrow. Ki amra al ere b'mot hayaled, for she said, I do not want to see the death of the boy. Not my boy, the boy. Vateshev mineged, and she sat across from him. Vatisa kola vatev, and she raised up her voice and she cried. Vayishma Elokim et kol hanar, interestingly, and God listened to whose voice? The voice of the child. The child didn't even cry. Vayikra malach Elokim el Hagar min hashamayim, and an angel called of God from the heavens to Hagar. Vayomer la malach Hagar, and he said to her, what are you doing, Hagar? Al tirei, do not be afraid. Ki shama Elokim el kol hanar basher husham, for God has heard the voice of the lad basher husham, in that he is there. Kumi seiyat hanar, arise, lift up the lad, vachazikiyet yadech, and strengthen your hand bow with him. Ki legoy gadol asimenu, I will make him a great nation. Vayivkat Elokim et eineha, and God opened her eyes, vatera ve'ermayim, and she saw a well of water. Vatelech, and she went, Vatimaleya tachemet mayim, and she filled up the pouch with water, Vatash ketanar, and she gave to the lad to drink. There are some other items here, by the way, that Mefarshim, especially Bali Musar, point out as to why we read this parsha on Rosh Hashanah. Again, it will not satisfy me. I'm going to look for something deeper. But there are those who say, nonetheless, very beautifully, for example, that since we have the crying taking place of Hagar and the shouting out from the child as God hears this voice, it says, so Rosh Hashanah itself, we know, is a day of tears. The shofar blasts represent, we know, different types of crying. Chana cries to be able to have a child. We say in the Yamim Noraim liturgy, Shomea Kol Bichyot, God is one who listens to the voice of tears, the voice of crying. Indeed, the Gemara says in Masechet Brachot, and in other places, the Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, it says, Sharei Tfila Ninalu, Sharei Dima Lo Ninalu, that the sometimes we know in our time, the gates of prayer have been closed, very difficult to get through with prayer alone, but the prayers that are offered with tears, those tears always get through. This seems to be even before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, therefore that the tears that accompanied one's cry to God, one's call to God, were always significant, and this of course would be therefore an inspirational reading because of this element on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Also, they point out as well, the Dibali Musar, that just like it says that God opened up her eyes and she saw the well of water, it does not say that the well of water was created. It says that her eyes were opened and she saw it. The lesson here is that in order to get close to God, to find what you need in order to help you get in a more intimate relationship with Him, you do not need something new in your life. The things that you have in your life are already there that will allow you to connect to Hashem. It's only that you need to open your eyes fully in order to appreciate them so that this is capable of taking place. So, these are some explanations that are given from this parsha of Ishmael concerning why this is read on Rosh Hashanah. But again, we are going to be looking for deeper reasons as well. Now, we pointed out that the notion of mitzachek, it says that Sarah saw Hagar, who had been the son of Hagar, had been born to Abraham, mitzachek. That's going to be a critical word in terms of why her anger is kindled against Hagar and her son. If I were thinking of what the word mitzachek could mean, there are many places I can look. It's used many times in Tanakh. But I would just suggest, let's go back to the place it was just used. In Perek, Yudchet, Pasuk Dalid, where it's talking about the destruction of Sodom, it says, Vayetze Lot Vayedaber El Chatanav, Lakche Benotav, Vayomer Kumutu Mina Makomaze, Kimashchit Hashem Etair, Vayehi Chimitzachek Bene Chatanav. Lot goes to tell his sons-in-law that they have to leave the city immediately, as God is going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Amorah. And yet, they do not listen to him. They do not think he's serious. Vayehi kimitzachek. It appeared to them as if he was just playing around, as he was just joking, and therefore they did not leave. So if I were to explain the above statement that Sarah saw that the son of Hagar was being a mitzachek, I would think it just means we just saw what it meant to a place so near to where our definition is trying to be created here, that mitzachek means he was fooling around. He was just joking. Nothing terribly wrong with that, nothing criminal, nothing sinful. That's what we might suggest that it means. If you look at the book of Jubilees, a source that it was written around the time of Chazal, so it so happens that they also have a tradition. It says, and Sarah saw Ishmael playing and dancing, and Abraham rejoicing with great joy, and she becomes jealous of Ishmael. So there again, it does not say he was doing any sin. He was playing, he was dancing. It doesn't say anything. There are other differences as well in this reading that we don't need to look at for our purposes, but it's in the book of Jubilees 17, verses 4 to 12. In Josephus, again, just to provide another parallel, we know that Josephus wrote his Antiquities. This is in book 1, 12:3. He discusses the event that we're describing here with Sarah and Ishmael. And he says, Sarah at first loved Ishmael, who was born of her own handmaid Hagar, with an affection not inferior to that of her own son. For he was brought up in order to succeed in the government. But when she herself had borne Isaac, she was not willing that Ishmael should be brought up with him, as being too old for him and able to cause him injury when their father would one day be dead. So again, this is not saying that Ishmael did anything wrong, except that he was, we know, much older than Yitzchak. And there's nothing indicating that there was any sinful nature to Ishmael, as he was mitzachek, according to the pasuk. Now, Rashi as is well known, clearly has a different explanation, which will lead us to his particular perspective and to a great degree that of Chazal concerning what was going on here with Yishmael. Rashi says, Mitzachek Lashon Avodat Kochavim. This is a language of idolatry. As it says, with reference to the Jews and the golden calf, that they got up litzachek, to do what? To joke? To play? No, to do idolatry. Rashi then says, Davar Acher, another explanation, Lashon Gilui Arayot. It also means that Yishmael was involved in forbidden sexual sins. As it said, Litzachek bi, a source Rashi brings from Yosef, when the daughter of Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, accusing Yosef of having been involved sexually with her. Litzachek bi, again, Litzachek here means fooling around of another type. Davar Acher, Rashi says, Ritzicha, it also means murder, as we have a case in Shmuel, which describes, in fact, Yoav and Avner having their young men duel with each other, and some are killed. And there it says that they got up, litzachek, v'yishakuf, and they were mitzachek. As Rashi understands the word here, v'yishaku, to be equal to mitzachek. So according to Rashi, we see that the three most terrible sins of idolatry, sexual crimes, and murder were the crimes that Sarah saw Yishmael engaging in, that obviously we can understand would scare her and would want to drive Yishmael from her son, from Yitzchak. Now, of course, we may ask, what is it that you get from the word mitzachek that we saw from the case just before it concerning Sodom and Amorah? That it means to joke around, to fool around. How do you get from that to idolatry and adultery and sexual crimes and murder? So the Bali Musa say that the deadly sins begin with Kalus Rosh, with a certain playfulness, with a certain letting down of one's guard. And certainly, you know, someone who is a great tzaddik will not do that. He will not let down his guard. And the worst sins can come about even from the playing of these games, if you will, and not taking seriously everything that happens in one's life, becoming too informal and letting the Yetzer Hara take you over, even in unique situations, can still dominate you, even if you've lived a righteous life your whole life. One has to always be on guard. That's what the Bali Musar have pointed out. Going on with Rashi. So Rashi has this vision of Yishmael as being a terrible sinner. And Rashi says, the next Rashi, Mitshuvat Sara, from the answer that Sara gives, Ki lo yirash ben ama im beni, that this son of this maidservant shall not inherit with my son, Atalamad Shaya Meriv im Yitzchak al HaYerusha. You see from this that there was an argument going on between Yitzchak and Yishmael concerning the inheritance. Va'amar ani bechor v'notel pishnayim. And Yishmael was saying to everyone, listen, with all the celebration here for Yitzchak being born, I am the one who is the firstborn. I am the one who will receive a double portion. V'yotzim basadev v'notel kashto v'yoro b'chitim. And in relationship to what we said before about what type of person Yishmael was, so it says they would go out into the fields, and Yishmael would pick up his bow and arrow, and he would shoot arrows at him. As it says, Rashi says in the book of Mishle, and he would say, Halo mitzachek ani. Again, the word mitzachek, again being echoed here, that I was just playing around and shooting those arrows. So maybe one understands, we'll have to see this later, that Rashi means that whether or not he was actually doing these sins yet, or he was just playing around with them, like he was shooting arrows at Yitzchak, not actually killing someone, but kind of showing he's not, you know, very sensitive to killing someone. So it could be that we have to be medayik that in Rashi, as again I'm explaining, we will see why later. Al Odot Beno, concerning his son, what does Rashi say about this, that Avram was upset about hearing about his son? Shishama Shiyatza L'Tarbut Ra'a. Why was he upset? Because his son would have to go out into the wilderness, because Sarah said, get rid of Yishmael, chase him out? No. Rashi says that Avram was upset because Yishmael, because of how Rashi has described it, had gone off to another culture. He was now a killer. He was now in a mode where he's worshiping idols and so on, and involved in improper sexual activity as well. Upshuto, however, Rashi says, although you see, it seems that he gave the other one as the first explanation, that he, as the previous Rashi told us, is pushing this vision of Yishmael as this terrible, evil person. Rashi nonetheless says, Upshuto, al shomeret lo l'shalcho. Really, what was so upsetting to Abraham was that Sarah had said to send him out. Now again, you have to wonder, why would then Abraham be so upset? If it's true, like Rashi says, that in fact he was a killer, he was an idolater, he was involved in sexual prohibitions, or if he wasn't directly involved in these things, but he was certainly on the way, very much involved, let's say, in the preparations for such terrible avevas, shooting arrows at people just to have fun for sport, and doing these other things for sport as well. So that has to make you wonder, well, then why was Avram so upset about sending him out? The next Rashi, Yudet, Shema Bekola, famous Rashi, Bekol Ruach HaKodesh Shema. We're told that Avram is supposed to listen, according to Rashi, to Sarah's voice, because it's the voice of the Holy Spirit that is speaking from within her. Lamadnu Shaya Avraham Tefel Sara B'Niviut. We learn from this that, in fact, Avram was Tafel Sara, that he was on a lower level of prophetic inspiration than Sara. Sara had a higher level of inspiration, prophetic inspiration, than Avram, and therefore he had to listen to everything that she was telling him to do. The next Rashi, we're told Avram gives Yishmael chemat mayim lechem and chemat mayim, bread and water. Velo kesef zahav, but not silver and gold. Lefi shayasono, because he now hated him. Because now Yishmael and Avram were no longer, loving father and son. Al shiyatza l'tarbut ra'a, because he went out, Rashi's going with the drush here, because he had gone into a terrible culture by virtue of the fact that his deeds were not now in accordance with those of Avram Avinu's family. So thereby, he did not give to Hagar or to Yishmael anything valuable, just some bread and water, like he might give to anyone. In fact, less than he would give to anyone. Any one of his guests he would definitely give more to. Gives him very little, instead of the abundance that Avraham Avinu usually gives to someone in need. V'yeda yeled, it says he put the water upon Hagar's shoulder, and then strange it said, and the child also upon her shoulder. Af hayeled sam al shichma. Rashi says that he even put the child, Yishmael, upon Hagar's shoulder. Shehichnisa bo Sara ayin ra'a. Because Sarah had put upon Yishmael an ayin hara, Rabosai. Biachzito chama v'lo yachol lelech biraglo. His leg became aflamed, and he was not able to walk as a result of Sarah's anger at him and at Hagar. So consequently, he could not walk himself, and he had to be put upon the shoulders of Hagar. She had the water, and she's carrying Yishmael. And now how old is Yishmael here? I saw different midrashim. We're going to go with the main midrashim I saw saying that he was 17, but there are those who say he was 27. Nonetheless, he's 17. We'll go with that shita, and he's put on his mother's shoulder to go out into the desert. It's absolutely unbelievable. Avraham Avinu does this. And then, Batelech Vateta, she goes out and she wanders. What does it mean she wanders? Rashi says, again, going with the evil nature of Hagar and Yishmael. V'chazra l'gugule beit avicha. And when she went out, she became an idolater once again. Things, we'll see that she had abandoned once she came into the house of Avraham Avinu. Basher husham. And it said that God heard the voice of the child in that he was there. What does that mean? L'fimasim shehu oseh achshav hu nadun. Yishmael would be judged by the acts that he was doing then, at the present time. V'lo l'fimas shehu atid lasot. But he would not be judged then by God by sins, by actions that he would do in the future. The fisha you malachi asharet mekadigrim v'omrim, because it was at that time when God saw that He was going to answer Yishmael, the malachim saw this and beheld it, that they accused God, they argued with God, and they said, Ribono Sholam, misha atid zaro lahamit banecha b'tzama. In the future, these people are not going to give water to the Jewish people. And in fact, we know they're going to be mitzar the Jewish people. They're going to afflict the Jewish people in terrible ways. And you're going to save him? Let him die! Let him die! V'hume shivam. But God responded to them. Achshav mahu. Tzadik o'rasha. What is he now? Forget the future that you're arguing. What is he now? A tzaddik or a rasha? Amrulo tzaddik. They said, okay, yes, now he's a tzaddik. Amar lahem, l'fi ma'asav shel achshav ani dano. V'zeu ba'asher husham. So God responds, I will judge him as he is now. You say he's a tzaddik now? Then I look at him as he is now. We know that we do have a case later in the Torah of Ben Sora Mora, that God judges someone of that age, someone of a what we call a juvenile delinquent age, as someone who, even though he is not doing terrible things now in terms of killing people and so on, but yet we judge him now because of what's going to happen in the future. We say, let him die innocent, let him die less of a sinner than what is going to take place in the future. But that's only by Ben Sarer Mora. In this case, God said, look, he's a tzaddik now, isn't he? And therefore I'm going to judge him now, as he is not in the future, but now, as a tzaddik. This is, the Mefarshim say, one of the reasons, another reason, why we read this parsha, because of that line on Rosh Hashanah. Because it says in Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tet Zayin Amud Bet, Amar of Yitzchak, Ein Danin Et Adam El Lefimasav Shelotel Sha'a. We do not judge a person except through his actions of that moment. We do not look into the future. Shenemar Ki Shemalo Kimo Kol Anar Basher Hu Sham. And it says that God heard the voice of this person, of Yishmael, as he was there, not looking to the future where he would become a great sinner as the Malachim were arguing. And again, we read this in Rosh Hashanah because we might think in another perspective that here we are standing in front of God after sinning all year. God's not going to forgive us. God is not going to be able to overlook the terrible sins we have done. And the answer is no. We read this parsha and we see this idea of Asher Husham, that God will judge a person as he is now. If you are in shul now, and you are regretting the sins of the past year, and you want to do tshuva, and you want to reestablish the relationship with Hashem that you should have, then God will listen to you, Ba'asher Hu Sham, as you are there now with your intentions, and not in accordance with whatever sins you have had in the past year. Beautiful explanation. Again, another reason why we read the Parsha on Rosh Hashanah of Yishmael, although as I've said, I'm looking for something even more encompassing. However, this entire Rashi that we've just read is actually very problematic. Because we say that the Malachim argued that you should kill Yishmael, let him die. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, what is he now? Tzadik or Rasha? And they say he's a tzadik. He goes, okay, I judge him as he is now. What do you mean he's a tzadik? What is that supposed to mean? We just saw the Rashis that show that Yishmael is nothing like a tzadik. According to Midrashim, he's 17 years old, so he's already an adult. And what is he doing? He's worshipping idols. He's going around killing people, shooting arrows at people. He's involved in forbidden sexual activity. What kind of tzaddik? He's not tzaddik. He's a Rasha. Doesn't make any sense. God should have let him die there. He's not a tzaddik. Doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. In fact, I saw, after noting this myself, the Torah Tamima says this. He says, Halo gamata, botasha'a. Rasha Haya. He says, what do you mean? How can the Malachim say that he's a tzaddik when God asked them? Even then he was a Rasha. He was not a tzaddik. So this is very difficult in terms of understanding exactly what is taking place here. I would like to thereby, as a result of this difficulty, consider another perspective about what actually happened in this Parsha, in the Torah, and to consider as well the perhaps different personality of Yishmael and Hagar than what has been framed for us so far by the Mefarshim we have seen. Let me first point out, as some may know, that Sarah and Hagar have a history. Oh, they have a history. In Bereshit et Zayin Gimel, Parshat Lech Lecha, we are told the following. Vatikach Sarai Eshet Avram et Hagar Mitzrit Shivchata Miketz Eser Shanim Leshevet Avraham Eretz Kenan. And Sarai took the wife of Abraham, for Abraham, Hagar, the Egyptian, her maidservant, after 10 years had passed since they came to Canaan and they could have no children. Vatitenotal Avraham Isha Lolisha. And she gave Hagar to Abraham as a wife. Vayavo el Hagar, and he came upon her, Vatahar, and she became pregnant. Vatere ki harata, and she saw that she became pregnant. Vatekel gevirta ve'eneha. And then, as a result, Hagar's respect for Sarah, her master, her mistress, became reduced. Vatomer Sarai el Avram. Sarah said to Avram, Chamasi alecha. I am furious with you, Avram. With you, Avram. Anochi natati shivchati b'chekecha. I gave you my servant, Vatere ki harata. And now you see, look, she became pregnant. Va'akel be'neha. And now I become light in her eyes. Yishkod Hashem beiniu veinecha. Let God rule concerning who is right between me and you. We'll see the Rashi's on this in a moment. Vayomer Avram, and Avram said al Sarai, to Sarai, Hine shivchateich biyadech. I understand. Look, she's your servant. Asila hatov beinayach. Do whatever you want with her. Vataneha Sarai vativrach mipaneha. And so Sarai afflicted her terribly, made her suffer, until she ran away from her. And an angel of God found her upon the waters in the desert, Al-Ain B'derech Shur, the waters on the way to Shur. Vayomer Hagar, Shivchat Sarai, Emizavat Aviag, Ana Telechi. The angel said, Hagar, the servant of Sarai, from where are you coming? Where are you going? Vatomer, and she said, Mibnei Sarai Givirti Anochi Borachat. She said, I am running away because of Sarai, my mistress, my mistress. Vayomer La Malach Hashem. And the angel of God said to her, Shuvi el givirteich. Go back to your mistress. Vihitani tachat yadeha. And suffer under her. Vayomer la malach Hashem. And the angel said to her, Harba arbe et zarech. And you'll see I will make great your seed. Velo yisaper mirov. He will never stop growing. He will be great in number. Vayomer la malach Hashem. And the angel again said, tis to Hagar, Hinach harav yoladet ben. You will become pregnant. Behold, you are pregnant. And you will give birth to a child. V'karat shemo Yisrael. You shall call his name Yishmael. Kishama Hashem Elonyech, for God has heard your affliction. V'hu yeh pera Adam. And he will be a wild type of human being. Yado b'kol. His hands will be on everything. V'yad kol bo. And everything will be on him. And everything else. V'yakol p'nei echad yishkon. And he will dwell upon all others, all of his brethren. V'atikra Hashem Hashem adover eleha. Ata kel roi. And she called the name of God who had spoken to her. You are the God who sees. Ki amra gam halom ra'iti acharei roi. For behold, you have seen after me. Akein karala ba'er. Therefore she called this place of water, this well. Ba'er lachai roi. The well of the living one who sees. Hinei ben Kadesh uvein Bared. You can see it. It's between Kadesh and Bared. Batelet Hagar la'avram bein. Batelet Hagar la'avram bein. And Hagar gave birth to a son to Avram. Ba'yikra Avram shem b'no asher yalada Hagar Yishmael. It says that Avram called the son who had been born to him Yishmael. You see, the previously in source number one, Hagar was told to call him Yishmael. But either Abraham had a prophetic vision, or Hagar told him privately that this is what the name was supposed to be for the baby. But Abraham calls him Yishmael, as was already forecast in the opening source that we saw. Now we ask the question, is it possible that Sarah, as we saw before, was so righteous and Hagar and Yishmael were so terrible? Or is it possible that Sarah was not so righteous, and that Hagar and Yishmael are not so terrible? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vayobel Hagar v'tahar. And she came, Hagar had relations with Abraham, and she became pregnant. Mebi'a Rishona. Rashi says, from the very first time they were intimate, she became pregnant. And what does it mean, therefore, that Hagar became light in terms of the way she showed respect toward Sarah? Amra, Hagar said, Sara zu ein sitra kigiluya. Hagar said that the inside, the secret aspect of Sara is not like the revealed part of Sara. Maratma kiilu hi tzadeket. She presents herself as if she is some great righteous woman. Veinat tzadeket, but she's not. Shelo zachta laharayon kol hashanim alalu. All of these years, she could not become pregnant. Vani nitabarti mebia rishona. And can you imagine? I became pregnant from the very first attempt. So apparently she is not such a righteous woman. Chamsi alecha. We said that she was angry with Abraham. Chamasa asuili alecha animetil haonesh. Sarah says to Abraham, amazingly, again, does this sound like a righteous Sarah? She says, Abraham, what has happened to me, my anger, it's your fault. The punishment comes upon you. Keshehi palalta l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ma titein li v'anochi holecha riri. When you daven to God and you said, what will you give me? And I'm barren, I don't have any children. Lo hitpalalta ela alecha. You only prayed for yourself. Vayalacha li palel al shineinu. You should have prayed for both of us. V'hayiti ani nifkedet imach. And then imcha. And then I would have been remembered also with a child, just like you were answered with a child, Avraham. So we see from this that she was mad at what Avraham did. Va'od it says, Tivarecha ata chomeis mimeni sha'ata shomea bizyonai v'shotek. Furthermore, Avraham, you hear that Agar is treating me improperly. She says, I'm not a righteous person. And yet you just sit there and you don't say anything and you don't intervene. And then, later on at the end of the Rashi, again, an amazing thing. Shehichnisa ayin hara bi'ibura al hagar bi'hipila ubra. Husha malach omer lahagar hinach hara v'alokavar harita v'hu mevaser la An amazing statement that Sarah put an ayin hara upon Hagar as she was leaving, like something to remember me by, if you will. She zaps, if you'll excuse the terminology in an animated form, she zaps Hagar. Hagar loses her child from the Bia Rishona from Avraham. And that's why it says the Malach now tells her now that she's pregnant. What do you mean? She was already pregnant. What do you mean now she's pregnant? She was pregnant, but we learn from this Rashi says that Sarah gave her an Ayin Hara and she lost the pregnancy, was aborted. And as a result, it's only now with the Malach does she become pregnant. Unbelievable. Sarah Imenu, the Balas Chesed, gives this Ayin Hara we saw in the previous Rashis in Vayera to Yishmael so that he can't walk, his leg is aflame with boils. And here, she gives an Ayin Hara, whether purposeful or not, but it was in her consciousness to do it. She gives an Ayin Hara to Hagar, actually making her lose her fetus. You know, in the Kohen Gadol's davening on Yom Kippur, in the special prayers, we say them twice in the Avoda. One in the order was said, and then one in a more poetic way. There we say, He asked, Shana Shelo Tapil Isha Peribitna. It should be a year, the Kohen Gadol says, when no woman has to lose the fruit of her womb, has to lose her fetus. And here's Sarah, and she attacks Hagar, so that Hagar loses her fetus. Was Sarah so righteous? Was Hagar so terrible? In fact, we are told in Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, that when Shivcha Mitzrit, this maidservant, Egyptian maidservant, was taken by Sarah, in fact, taken probably when they had gone down to Egypt because of the famine, we are told, Bat Paro Haita. Rashi says, who was Hagar? She was the daughter of Paro. Kishira Nisim Shinasu Lisara. When Paro saw miracles that had occurred to Sarah, Amar, he said, Paro, Mutav Shitehe Biti Shivcha Bebayet Ze Below Givira Bibayit Acher. It's better that Sarah should be a part of the household of Avraham Avinu and not be a great person in my household. Better she be a servant in the house of Avraham than a princess in the house of Paro. Amazingly, Paro said that and saw this greatness of Avraham Avinu and his household. But we see from this that certainly Hagar, understanding that Paro saw this, was following her the wishes of her father and willing to go and become a part of Avram's household and leave her Egyptian royalty in order to become part of that household. In fact, we know that it says in Parakafei Pasuk Aleph that after Sarah passes away, by Yosef Abraham Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah, that after Sarah passes away, Abraham gets remarried, he takes a wife, and her name is Keturah. At least according to Rashi, who is Keturah? Zohagar, he says there. This refers to Hagar. And she's called Keturah because of the fact that her actions are beautiful, like the Ketoret. And we know, by the way, Rabosa, Mepharshim say that the Ketoret was the highest offering, the most spiritual of the offerings. It's really just smell, just spirit. The Ketoret was the highest of the offerings given to Hashem. And so this would say, even according to Rashi, that Keturah, Hagar, was such a terrible person. What's it? She's worshipping idols, Rashi said, when she goes into the desert. And that she's allowing her kid to do all these things. But here, she is judged as the highest of the high. What's going on? Where we had seen before what seemed to be a terrible act, where Hagar had taken Ishmael out to the desert and threw him down under these plants, like in order not to see the death of her son. Like, what kind of cowardice is this? That, of course, brings to mind the notion of, in Eretz Yisrael today, of some of the Palestinians taking their children and using them as human shields, not caring what happens to them, just so they're protected. So here, Hagar throws down her child and doesn't stay with him and try to help him. And yet the Ralbag says, regarding the trees that she was throwing her son under, he says, "Kedei shelo yakeyu ha-shemesh." This was done so the sun would not hurt him. It wasn't done because she just threw him down. She put him, threw him under the trees to protect him. The shamro me'atzama ki lo hayu lamayim. As they ran out of water, so thereby she was put, she put him under the trees to protect him. She's not a bad person, like just saying, "I'm not going to see him die," and she just goes away and leaves him there to die. Not at all. She was trying to help him. With reference to the notion that Sarah was such a great prophetess, and Abraham should listen to her voice because she's greater in prophetic ability than Abraham. Oh, the great Sarah. Well, the Sopporno says, "Shema b'kola," you should listen to her voice. "Kibadin amra la sokein." Because, you know, it's not because she's a greater prophetess, because in this case she was right. It doesn't indicate that she was a greater prophetess from a higher level. She seemed to be right in this case. Again, like, it does not seem from that comment of the Sforno to elevate Sarah to that level of greatness that we generally would put her at, and thereby it seems possible to criticize her, as I have done, you've seen, for the approach that she has taken toward Hagar, who we have said is not such a terrible person it seems after all. You know, the Ramban supports me, because I could never say what I'm saying on my own. The Ramban says, when Sarah afflicted, in the case of Lech Lecha, afflicted Hagar and sent her out, "Chata'a imenu be'inui hazeh." Our matriarch sinned by afflicting Hagar. "Begama Abraham beheni cholasokein." And so to Abraham, by allowing her to do this, by allowing her to afflict in his household Hagar. "Shama Hashem Elanya," and God heard her affliction. "Benatan la ben shiehe para Adam, leanot zera Abraham b'sara b'choli mine inui." And as a result, there would be a hatred of Hagar's children, of Ishmael, for the Jewish people throughout the generations. The Ramban says it so clearly. that Tsar Imenu did a terrible chet. Terrible chet. Of course, the Ramban is willing to say this as well, for those who recall, when Avraham Avinu left Eretz Yisrael and went down to Mitzrayim when there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, there too, the Ramban says that Avram did a terrible sin. He should not have left Eretz Yisrael. He should have stayed there and had faith. In fact, one can connect the two. Because Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, that's eventually he took a Shivcha Mitzrit, he took Agar, eventually led to this whole Maisa, and eventually would lead to the Jewish people out of Yom HaZeh being afflicted by the Arab nations. Even for the person who is closest to God, life is not easy. There can be problems in a family, in a marriage, the inability to have children, jealousy, overreaction in terms of issues relating to one's children and in raising them. The results of such errors, such sins, the Ramban called them, can be devastating for generations to come. What an amazing religion Judaism is, that the Ramban can actually blame Sarah for things that she did to someone in her family, as well as being able to blame her as well for things that would happen in future generations to the Jewish people, all their suffering as a result of the hatred that came about from the Arab nations. And then I, with the Ramban in hand, to be sure, a Rav in Klal Yisrael, an Orthodox rabbi, can stand in a shul on Shabbos Shuva and point to our matriarch Sarah as being a sinner and the cause of the hatred of the Arab nations for Klal Yisrael ad Hayom Hazeh. Any other religion, could you do this? Could a priest stand in a church and attack the Virgin Mary? Could, imagine, an imam stand in a mosque and attack one of the great ones of Islam? What would happen if someone would do such a thing? And yet, Judaism, in its expansive range of Talmud Torah and recognition that even our gedolim, even our great ones, are human beings and that they have their faults, as the Ramban has pointed out, as Rav Shimshon Thor Hirsch points out throughout his commentaries. This teaches us such a very important notion. One could ask, how could this be? He was told to listen to the voice of Sarah in Parshas Lech Lecha, as we said, where it says the Ramban does, that Avraham Avinu and Sarah behaved improperly. There, already, he was not told to listen to everything that Sarah is telling him to do. There, perhaps he should have responded against what she was doing to afflict Hagar, instead of just saying, go ahead, she's in your control, do whatever you want with her. It's only in Vayera that there, Avram is told to listen to everything that Sarah says. And I might add, though, that even so, I would like to learn Pshat as follows, that the reason Avram Avinu was told to listen to everything that Sarah said was not necessarily because of her greater prophetic ability. I guess you want to say it means that it was her prophetic ability, but she did not necessarily know what she was prophesizing. Because by listening to Sarah, so that was the means through which Hashem was able to create this ninth test of sending out Yishmael, of sending out his son. That's ultimately why Abram was told to listen to Sarah, whether she was right or not, because this test had to become a reality in order to continue to strengthen Abraham as the leader of the Jewish nation. Here, okay, the Rebbe Eliezer, Perek Lamed Bet, differently than what we saw before in the actual text and with Rashi, it asks, V'lama nikra shemo Yishmael? Why is his name called Yishmael? We said before that the angel said to call him Yishmael, and Abram did, because God heard the voice of the Nar, Basher Husham, when he was suffering. Why did the name Yishmael, why was that given? So this source says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Sha'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishmoa Bekol Na'akat Ha'am Mima Sha'atidin B'nei Yishmael Lasot Lefichach Nikra Shemo Yishmael Shenemar. It says, Yishma Kel V'yaneh, says that God will listen to the Jewish people in the future. Because since they afflicted Yishmael early on, they would pay for it. And Yishmael would punish the Jewish people until one day God would hear them again and save them. The idea, by the way, this is the fact, is brought down by the Palaturim. The Balaturim says on the word Borachat that it says that Hagar was asked by the angel, what are you doing here in the desert? She said she was running away from Sarah. Bet b'mesoret says that only two times this comes down, this word, in our tradition, says the Balaturim. Haka v'idach, here in one other place. Where's the other place? Mikol Peresh V'Roma Keshet Borachat Kol Ha'ir. It says in Yirmiyahu, Dalet Kaftet, that the entire city is fleeing from the sound of horsemen and the archer. That's where it used the word Borachat. The Jews are fleeing. And why is it that that refers to Yishmael, which it does? Because it says there that Kiroma Keshet, He's someone who shoots arrows, as we are told here in our parshas, that Yishmael would be someone who would shoot arrows. So as a result of the Jewish people making him suffer, so thereby, because it said that Hagar was forced to escape from Sarah, so the Jewish people would have to run and escape and flee from Yishmael, the offspring of Hagar. We have other similar things to this that come to mind. What I'm saying is that even according to Rashi, that Sarah was a prophetess, and Avram was just following what was supposed to be done. Still, when others suffer, we know that someone cannot make others suffer without feeling some type of pain in response or some type of punishment. So for example, let's take the case of Amalek. We know that Amalek hates the Jewish people, is out to destroy the Jewish people. Why? So we usually say for no reason at all. Right? Amalek just hates us for no reason. That's why they're Amalek. That's why we distinguish them from all other anti-Semites. But truth be told, there is a Medrash that seems to support the fact that there was something the Jewish people did. The Medrash says that when the mother of Amalek, Timna, she came to Avraham Avinu, and she wanted to convert, to become a monotheist, to become from B'nai Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu rejected her. Now, if he rejected her, we know that the Rambam says in his discussion in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, of the Rambam of Avraham Avinu and how many people he brought close to Torah, which is Rambam says myriads of people Avraham Avinu brought close through Kiruv to the belief in one God. So obviously as Avraham Avinu rejected someone, there had to be some deep reason why he did so. Nonetheless, he did reject him. Amalek, the Medrash says, became furious. As you see, it comes down to, you can't do that to my mother. You can't do that to my mother. From that comes generations upon generations of the hatred and destruction of the Jewish people. In fact, a deeper psychological insight I once gave to my congregation. We think Amalek hates us so much because, you know, they're Amalek and we're the Jews. But really, there's another understanding here. See, Amalek wanted to be us. Timna wanted to be us. Amalek also wanted to be us. But like you sometimes have in like a love triangle, like if I can't have her, then nobody can. So then the view of Amalek became that I wanted to be you, My mother wanted to be you. You won't let us be you. Then no one can be you. You can't even be you. We will destroy you. You can't do that to my mother. You can't do that to me. So we had that by Amalek because we were not sensitive in how we treated Amalek or Timnah. We have it in another case as well, where the Jewish people will suffer because of Maaseh Avos Tzim L'Banim, as we're pointing out, with reference to the Brachos and Yaakov and Esav coming to Yitzchak to get them. We know that after Yitzchak gives the Brachos to Yaakov, and then Esav comes and he says, "Bless me." Vayitzak Sa'aka Gedolah, there's a great scream that is let out, a great scream. When Esav heard that the blessings had been given to Yaakov, Beheichan Nifralo, it says in Bereishis Rabbah, where was Esav paid back for this affliction, that he had this terrible pain and scream when he found out that Yaakov, his brother, got the brachas that were intended for him? Bishushan Abira. He would be paid back in the case of Shushan Abira, Shenemar. Vayizak Zakagdola Umara Admao, the same language. He would scream against a great scream. Who? Mordechai. When he heard about the condemnation by Haman of the Jewish people and his desire to annihilate them, this was the payback by the fact that Yaakov had caused such affliction to Esav, even though he was listening to Rivka, who was a prophetess. Nonetheless, still, there has to be justice when someone causes pain to someone else. So we see it's the case by Amalek, we see it's the case here by Yaakov and Haman in the case of Purim, and we see it's the case as well by Yishmael when he was treated improperly in Hagar, as the Ramban tells us, because of Sarah Imenu and her attitude toward these individuals. The question is it possible to come up with some alternative rendering to this narrative, which is not that of Rashi? Are there sources in Chazal which can indicate as well, as we've been trying to bring forth so far, perhaps another perspective of the personalities involved? Indeed, in the Tosefta Sota, Vav Gimel, which is paralleled as well, almost exactly with some differences, in Bereishit Rabbah, Nun Gimel, Ted Vav, we see it says, Amar Bishimon ben Yochai, Bishimon ben Yochai says, Arba'a Dvarim Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh, V'Dvarai Nirin Midvarav. Shimon Bar Yochai said that Rabbi Akiva had certain explanations that he disagreed with and that he believed his views were better than those of Rabbi Akiva. What are those views? Exactly our Rashi. Rabbi Akiva said, when it says that Yishmael was mitzachek, what was he doing? It is Rabbi Akiva who brings down the views that says that he was involved in idolatry, he was involved in forbidden sexual activity, he was involved in murder. These are the views of Rabbi Akiva. And what does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say? Ani omer chas v'shalom shiyeh b'beito shel oto tzadik kach. He says, how could it be? It's impossible that Avraham Avinu would have just let go in his household murder, idolatry, and forbidden sexual crimes. Efshar lemi shenemar alav ki yedativ leman asher yitzaveh. Is it possible that Avraham Avinu, to which God said that he knows he can have faith in him, that he would teach his children properly how to follow him, could it be that these three terrible cardinal sins were in his home? Rather, all that was going on here, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Yishmael was not this terrible sinner. He says it was a discussion of the Yerusha, which Rashi includes in his second statement after describing the three terrible sins. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai rejects Rabbi Akiva. He said, no, he does not agree with Rabbi Akiva that these terrible sins were being done under Avram Avinu's nose in his house by Ishmael. Not so. When it says, Hayayishel Mitzachek, when it says that he was playing, right? So he was saying, Rabbi Shimon Reicha says, Bedato v'omer, alti shotim, alti shotim, ani b'chor v'ani notel shnei chalakim. In other words, when everyone was saying, yes, Yitzchak has been born, and he's going to be the true seed of Avram Avinu, yes, and he's going to be the progenitor, he's going to be the one. So Yishmael was arguing and mocking him, saying, you know what you're talking about, I'm the firstborn. And he was. I'm the one who gets the double portion, and he should. He was out of Russia. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, that's what you see from the fact that Sarah said, as Rashi pointed out earlier, that he shall not inherit with my son. But that's not what the dispute was about. It had nothing to do with Yishmael being a Russia. According to the seal, Yishmael was not a Russia. In fact, Rav Sadia Gaon confirms this. He says in his commentary in the Torah, Mitzachek, Mitatea Umahatel, that the Yishmael was involved in mocking and scorning those who were saying that Yitzchak was, if you will, had the status of the firstborn. It had nothing to do with rishus, with evil on his part. I would like to be mechadesh, in fact, my own explanation. I would say when it says that Sarah saw that the son of Hagar was being mitzachek, what does mitzachek mean? Most simply, mapashtan here, mitzachek means milashon yitzchak. Not laughing, not joking. It means she saw that he was becoming Yitzchak. He was Mitzachek. That it wasn't going to be Yitzchak who was going to be getting the Yerusha. But in fact, Yishmael, because he was not a bad boy, because he did not do terrible things, he was only defending his rights to the Yerusha as he was the firstborn. Because he was behaving himself, so Sarah feared that Harehu Mitzachek, he's going to be Yitzchak. He's going to be Yitzchak and get the Yerusha, and not my son. Not my son. Lashon Yitzchak is the word Mitzachek. That's what he was striving for. And because he was good, not because he was bad. In fact, I can bring rayas to show that Yishmael, while it is true there is a thread in Chazal which sees him as Rashi has presented him, there are Midrashim, for example, that say that even Avram Avinu cannot save Yishmael from Gehenna. I saw that in a Midrash. But on the other hand, there are many Midrashim that support Yishmael's goodness. And how could he not be somewhat good if he had the bris of Avram Avinu upon him and he had the goodness of Avram Avinu? And, as he pointed out, that Hagar not being so terrible, also her goodness was in him. So, for example, there's a Midrash that says that, as we know, when Avram Avinu went to do the Akedah, he took with him his two servants, his two Na'arim. Who were they? Eliezer and Yishmael. So apparently Yishmael came back to Avram Avinu, which is quite a statement after Yishmael had sent him out to, Yishmael had been sent out to his death by Avram Avinu. And furthermore, why would Avram Avinu, going to do this most holy of events of the Akedah, why would he take a Rasha like Yishmael along with him? Why would he take Yishmael? Obviously then, Yishmael cannot be this terrible person that we see him presented as. Moreover, there are Midrashim that say that Avram Avinu sought out Yishmael, came to his tent, and she came to the tent of apparently what was his wife and family. Yishmael was not there. He didn't even get off the donkey or whatever he was riding, the camel, nor was he told to get off. nor was he offered any food or drink or hospitality by this woman. He was an old man and he needed something to eat and drink. The woman said, not from here. No, you're not getting anything. And Avraham Avinu was very upset that Ishmael had created this type of household. And he said, when she said that her husband Ishmael was not there, he said, when he comes back, will you please tell him that an old man was here, a zakeh, and that his tent pin is not properly founded. The yated, his pin, his tent pin is not properly there. She said she would do it, referring, of course, to his wife. And then sometime later, the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu again came upon the tent of Yishmael. And this time there was a different woman there. And she said, can I help you? Can I give you something to eat? Give you something to drink? In the same spirit of the chesed of Avraham Avinu. And he said to her, yes, thank you, and can you please tell the master of the house that a zakein came to see him, and that now his tent pin is proper and strong. So obviously Avraham Avinu saw, and we see that Ishmael was not this terrible person as he has been presented according to one thread in Chazal, but that there are different views. Indeed, the ultimate proof, we know that Yishmael, after Avraham Avinu dies, comes back with Yitzchak, comes back to bury Avraham Avinu. It's an incredible thing. I mean, here you have Yishmael was sent out to his death by his father. What a terrible thing. And yet he's willing to forgive him, to be over Amidotav, to overlook the terrible things that were done to him. Another vision of Ishmael, maybe again as a side idea as to why we might read about him on Rosh Hashanah, the first day, because it shows how one has to overcome his feelings of hatred toward others who have afflicted him. And Yishmael did this so beautifully by doing tshuva after what Avraham Avinu had done to him, to send him out to his death in the desert, and what he had done to his mother Hagar. And yet we see from this again that Yishmael could not have been such a terrible person, at least from this perspective of what has taken place in his doing of tshuva. Now, having said all this, let us compare and make another suggestion about, therefore, why we are reading this parsha on Rosh Hashanah. The Malbim, in his commentary on what had happened with Sarah and Ishmael, she being afraid of what would happen, the Malbim says that she thought ki chashva she ikar avat Abraham hu lepilag sho. She thought, Sarah did, that his real love was for Hagar. So she really wanted to kick Hagar out initially. And then with her, Sanu, her son has to go out as well. However, then it says that Avram was upset, al odot bino, concerning his son, not concerning Hagar, concerning his son, which is that his love was really for Ishmael more than it was for Hagar. And that's why, so the Ribbono Shel Olam then responds, when Avram refuses to do anything to kick them out, first it mentions the boy and your servant. Then he tells him what to do, to follow the Versara says. From the statement of the Malbim, it supports what I'm saying, that Mitzachek means that he was becoming Yitzchak. Because Sarah says, according to the Malbim, Shimatach Hoshev ki hu bincha hayoresh. Avram, if you have any idea to think that he, Ishmael, is your inheriting son, that he's, right, Kemo Yitzchak, she says, he's like Yitzchak. I'm saying Mitzachek, he's becoming Yitzchak. No, my Yitzchak is the one inheriting. He's not going to become Yitzchak, Mitzachek. Akedat Yishmael. What does that mean? It's like you had Akedat Yitzchak as the great test, Avraham Avinu, the last and final test, according to most Rishonim, with the exception of a call of Rabbeinu Yonah, who holds also the death of Sarah was a test. But most hold, just like the 10th test was Akedat Yitzchak, that in fact, a almost parallel test to Akedat Yitzchak was Gerush Yishmael, but we're calling it Akedat Yishmael in order to set up the parallel between the two. And indeed, we're told in Yalkut Shimoni, Vayera, Perek Sadi Dalid, Hanisayona Tishi, the ninth test, Amra Sara Shalachet Amazot Yetmana Me'alai, Umeyal Yitzchak Bini Min Olam Azem Min Olam Abba. Umikol Araot Shebao Al Abraham, says the Medrash, of all the terrible things that happened to Avraham Avinu, Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash says that there was nothing as terrible as the fact that he had to send out his own son, his own flesh and blood, into the desert to die. As we might imagine, just like we know Akedat Yitzchak was a terrible thing that Avraham had to do, So too, Akedat Yishmael, almost equally, with small differences, was just as terrible a test, almost, for Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu, of course, fulfills the test, just like he does in the case of the Akedas. We will note some parallels. The Malvim points out, it's obvious, Vayash came Avraham Baboker, when it came to sending out Hagar and Yishmael, it says that Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning. Why did he get up early in the morning? As we know, just like by the Akedah, he got up early in the morning in order to do God's will, even though it meant getting rid of his son. Yet, just like Akedas Yitzchak, he got up early in the morning in order to send his son out. The Malbim says he did not give him, as Rashi pointed out, any silver or gold, just gave bread and water. Why was that? And says the Malbim, because by a slave, that when you send out a slave, it says, Lo tishlachenu rekam. You shall not send him out empty, from which of course we learn the halacha of severance pay, that you have to give him hanukkah. You can't send out a slave with nothing. When you send him out, it's for his good. But where it says, Gerush, hu biyad chazakah ubakas, that means it's being done strongly, with anger. And therefore, what is Hagar given? She's given nothing but bread and water. Avraham Avinu would give more than that to strangers, the Malbim says, who he just meets, and yet to his own wife, and his own son, he gives basically nothing in order to be able to deal with the desert's heat. Also, the Malbim points out, he doesn't send a shaliach with them, as usually one would do if it was someone of importance. He takes the food, and he takes the child, and puts them, we said, upon Hagar. Doesn't give her a donkey, doesn't give her a camel, just puts them on her, to burden her down even more. This is all to show that once Avraham Avinu was told that they had to go and you have to listen to Sarah, so he fully got rid of his emotions and went through with the divine directive that had come through to him in accordance with what was God's will. The Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, again, just some other obvious parallels between Akedat Yishmael and Akedat Yitzchak. Vatera ba'er mayim, and Hagar saw this well of water. Eze ba'er haita, says the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. What well was it? Melamed shenigalta b'niftecha lahem sham ha'ba'er. We learn from this that the well was revealed and opened to them. Shenivra Erev Shabbat Bein HaShemashot. It doesn't say that a new well was created then. It says they opened their eyes and they saw this well. What was that well doing there? Ah, says the Medrash, it was created at Bein HaShemashot. It was created at the end of creation, the very end of creation, right before creation was going to be completed. And where do we know this from, obviously? Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot, Hey Vav. We know that 10 things, it says, were created on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemashot. One of them was Pi HaBe'er, which we usually take to mean the well of Miriam, which in fact, the Farshim say, is the same well wherein Hagar also drank in Bereshit. And just like we know that in the case of Hagar, there was this well that was created from the time of creation at Bein HaShemashot, of course we know, we recall in the case of Akedas Yitzchak, when Abraham turned and he saw the ram, it doesn't say the ram was created. He saw the ram in the thicket. And Chazal say that that ram had been created from the time of creation at Bein HaShemashot, just like the well, says in Pirkei Avos. Yeshomrim, right? There are those who say, Ayelo Shel Avraham Avinu, that also that came from that same time period. Is this parallel just a coincidence between the two Akedot? Obviously, no one could believe that. To give you further proof that obviously these two are connected, Akedat Yishmael with Akedat Yitzchak, Bereshit Rabbah Nun Gimel Yudchet. There it says that Hagar, when she saw her son was going to die, had this conversation with Hashem. Klape Mala Amra Et Mol Amartali Harbe Arbe Zarech Achshav Hu Meit Betzama. God, you told me yesterday that I was going to have a son from Ravinu, and he was going to be a great nation, you had told me. And now, he's going to die of thirst. Does this sound familiar? Indeed, it does. In Bereshit Nun Vav Yud Bet, Bereshit Rabbah Nun Vav Yud Bet, there we have as well Avram Avinu speaking with Ribono Shel Olam. When the angel tells him to stop and not to go through with the sacrifice of Yitzchak, Avram says, in the Medrash's words, Et Mol Amarta, the same exact language as Hagar. Yesterday you said, Kibi Yitzchak Yikare L'Chazara. Yesterday you said that Yitzchak will be called my seed. Chazarta V'Yamarta Kachna Bincha. Then you said, take Yitzchak and slaughter him, which I did. B'Yachshav Atomer Li Al Tishlach Yad Chalamar. And now again you tell me not to kill Yitzchak. The exact same conversation between Hagar and Avram Avinu is taking place. There's no way that one can discount this as pure coincidence. I will even bring it to a further connection. Bereshit Rabbah Nun Gimel Yud Zayin. Amar Rebbe Ami Tachar Achar Asichim. When it says that Hagar put Yishmael under one of the trees, Shesham Hesichu Ima Mina Shamayim, or Malachi Asharet. From there, under the trees, that's where the angels from heaven spoke. That's why it says Sichim, not Eitzim. Why Sichim? From the word Siach. From the word Siach. This is where the conversation took place between the Malachim and Hagar. And it's brought down further on this. B'shem Agon Rav Shul Katzin Alembagen. And others as well. Talmidim of the Gon Rav Chaim of Elazner as well. When it said, V'tashlech et ha'yelet tachar achar sichim, she threw down the child under one of the trees. The Midrash Ita Dum Lashon Sicha, as we said, Sichim is from the language of conversation, that she was having conversation with the angels. But more than that, Vanira Hu, they say, Shayaze Makom Hamitash. It seems that this took place at the exact place where the temple would be built. Makom Shisachu Bo Avotenu B'Tfilah. It was the place where our ancestors spoke in prayer. Uklashon HaKatuv, as it says, Vayitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach Basadeh. It says Yitzchak went out to speak in the field. We know that means that he went out to daven in the field. V'hinei Matzinu Sheshlomo HaMelech Yipalel Hashem. And we have found that Shlomo HaMelech, when he prayed to God, B'kalotu B'inyan HaMikdash, when he finished the building of the temple, he said, "V'gam anochri asher lo me'amcha Yisrael, hu ba me'eretz rechoka, hu ba lihipalel el abayit hazeh, atat yishma shemayim mechon kisacha, v'yasita kechol asher yigray lecha hanochri." Shlomo HaMelech prayed that, as we say in the davening, ki beiti beit fila yikare lechol amim, that this place should be a place where all nations can offer up their prayer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not just the Jewish people. Shlomo asked that God should listen to all prayer that comes up from that particular place and the holiness of that place. The Fichach says this view, Mishona Yishmael B'makom Kadosh Zeh, once Yishmael was put in this particular place, Shugam Makom Hamiyuad Tfilat Nochri, which is also a place which is special and unique for even non-Jewish prayer to be heard. Miyad Shema Elokim et Kolo v'nikabla Tfilato. That's why immediately God heard his voice and accepted his prayer or her prayer. Zeu Shama Malach El Agar, and this is why the angel said to Agar, Kisham Elokim et Kol Anar, that God had heard the voice of the lad. Ba'asher Hu Sham, a different explanation than was given before. Ba'asher Hu Sham, and we'll go with this alternative. It's not that it means that God heard the voice of the child because now he was innocent. According to Rashi, what do you mean now he was innocent? But according to Rashi, we say it was a Rasha. So either it means, as we've said, that Yishmael was really not a Rasha. He was just arguing over that inheritance. It really should have been his anyway. So we can learn it that way, Ba'asher Hu Sham. And indeed, that whole medrash is that he was innocent. We can learn it that way. Or, as it's being learned here, Ba'asher Hu Sham, God listened to the voice of the Na'ar because he was there. Doesn't mean as he was in his terms of his status as a tzaddik, but because he was there. He was where? B'makom hayadua, makom beit hamikdash, because this prayer was being offered up at the place of the beit hamikdash, a place given over to prayer. That's why his prayer, her prayer, was heard by the Ribbono Shel Olam from this place. That's what it means, b'makom Asher Husham. Interestingly, Rav Baruch Epstein in his Tosafot Bracha brings down the fact that when it says the Lashon Basher Husham, so the Tosafot Bracha points out, Aderech HaPshat, he says, what does it mean, Basher Husham? It means, it's just a shortened way to say, Bamakom Asher Husham. Ba'asher Husham means Bamakom Asher Husham. Okay? So that's what it means, he says. Ba'asher Husham means Bamakom Asher Husham. Ah. This gave me an idea that the Tosefes Bracha stopped that, though, and did not go further, because he does not have the goal that I have. Again, I'm trying to compare Akedat Yishmael and Akedat Yitzchak and show the strength of the parallels between them. Aha! We all knew that Akedat Yitzchak, we all know it takes place at Har Moriah, at the Makom Beis Hamikdash. When it says, for anyone who has an ear to this language that we use in the Torah in Devarim, starting in Lamed Aleph, Yud Aleph, just going back from where we are now, I'm giving this drush as a Shabbat Shuvah drush, we're at the end of the Torah. If you go back to Lamed Aleph, Yud Aleph, So there it says, and it says it again and again. I'm going to give you here the nusach, which is used in the Torah. It says again and again, as it says in the Tosefes Bracha, Ba'asher Husham stands for Ba'makom Asher. Ba'makom Asher. Anyone who knows anything about Sefer Devarim, listen, fill in the blank. Ba'makom Asher, Ba'makom Asher, Ba'makom Asher, fill in the blank. Ba'makom Asher, Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Lishakein Shemo Sham. In Sefer Devarim it says that in Perek Yud Bet Hey, Yud Dalid, Yud Chet, Kaf Aleph, Kaf Vav, all those psukim in Perek Yud Bet. Then it says it in Perek Yud Dalid Kaf Hey. Then in Tet Zayin Vav, Tet Zayin Zayin, Yud Aleph, Tet Vav, Tet Zayin. Then in Perek Yud Zayin Chet and Yud. In Perek Yud Chet Vav. In Perek Kaf Vav Bet. And as we said, Perek Lamed Aleph, Yud Aleph. In all these cases, it has the nusach. Bamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Lishakein Shemo Sham. Bamakom Asher, Bamakom Asher. When it says Bamakom Asher, it is pointing toward the place where God wants to make His name known. That place is nothing other than we know than the Beis Hamikdash. This shows in that hint that God listened to him. Ba'makom Asher Husham. Ba'makom Asher had reference, a foreshadowing to that longer phrase that would be used, which had reference to the Beis Hamikdash. Both the giving up of Yishmael and the giving up of Yitzchak, Akedat Yishmael, Akedat Yitzchak, both took place at the Makom Hamikdash. This is not a coincidence. One may ask me the Shaila. But if this is so, Rabbi, then the Rambam, we know in Beit HaBechira, Bet, says as follows, Misoret b'yada kol shemakom shebana bo David Shlomo mizbeach v'gorin Arona, hu amakom shebana bo Abraham mizbeach v'akalav Yitzchak, v'hu amakom shebana bo Noach kishiyotze min ha-teva, v'hu amizbeach shigriv alav Kain v'havel, hu bo wikriv adam ha-rishon korban kishinivra misham nivra, amru chachamim adam imakom kapatar not nivra. The Rambam says that the place where the Mikdash was, that in fact is the place where Avraham Avinu offered up Yitzchak as a sacrifice, where Noach offered up a sacrifice after he was saved, where Cain and Havel offered up their sacrifices, where Adam HaRishon offered up his sacrifice to give thanks for being born. So if that's the case, you'll ask me, Nu, so then why doesn't the Rambam list the case of Yishmael being heard by Hashem and Hagar being heard, if we say according to those views as well? Why doesn't it have that place as being the Makom HaMikdash to even add to these places? And we answer quite simply, it is true that it was that place. The reason the Rambam doesn't list it is because the Rambam is speaking in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam brings down not everything that happened at that place. There could be other things that also happened at that place. But he's bringing down the laws of the temple. So he's bringing down laws of sacrifices, and thereby sacrifices that were offered at that place. The case of Yishmael, as we said, we're calling it Akedat Yishmael. It was not formally a sacrifice. It was an expulsion. Thereby, because it was not a korban, the Rambam does not list it in this list of korbanos. There's no element of Mizbeach here, and that's why the Rambam clearly does not bring it. In fact, as further evidence to this, we can bring the fact that the famous Chalom Yaakov, the dream of Yaakov, where it says, Vayifka b'makom, that he came upon this place, and it repeats the word place several times. Chazal tell us that this refers to the specific place as well of the Beis Hamikdash. And yet the Rambam does not bring this down as another example where basically the Beis Hamikdash had an historic experience, an event associated with us. Why not? Why doesn't he bring that down also? And the answer is, as we have said, because says this also was not talking about a situation where Yaakov was offering up a korban, and thereby that's why the Rambam would not feel a need to list it. We have seen, and I will show you some more, what I call echoes and whispers now, of Bereshit Kaf Bet Aleph Yud Tet, namely Akedas Yitzchak, and Bereshit Kaf Aleph Tet Yud Tet in Vayera, also coming just before it, with the case of the expulsion, or what we are calling Akedat Yishmael. Listen to these echoes of what I'm saying, even gives us more comparisons. It says at the outset concerning Avram Avinu, it says, we know, Kachet Bincha, take your son, Avram. Remember at the beginning of the case of Hagar, so just as contrast, so Sarah says, listen, take out this son of Hagar, it's not Avram's son. Interesting contrast between the two. Of course, we point out, Bayash came Avram Baboker, Avram got up early, and he also saddled a donkey, not when he sent out these individuals, because it was part of the test to send them out quickly, to chase them out. Interestingly, it says that he took wood with him, Avram did. He took this wood, and eventually he would take Yitzchak, it says, toward the end of the Parsha, and he would put him mima'al la'etzim, above the wood. Yishmael was put under the wood in the Midbar. But again, obviously there's an echo. Anyone who knows the two narratives should be able to see there's certainly a connection there being made. You're supposed to look at one and then look at the other and see the contrast. We are told that, and this is so obvious, and it says it several times by Akedas Yitzchak, Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav. Avram and Yitzchak are always going together toward this goal of what they are attending to. While in the case of Hagar, we know that she throws down Yishmael, and she distances herself from him, we said. The space of shooting arrows of Avram and Yitzchak holding tight to each other throughout. It says, Vayishlach Avraham et Yado. And even though I realize Vayishlach is with a chet, Avram sent forth his hand. Not so far away, if you're talking about an echo here, a whisper of the same thing. Avram sends forth his hand in order to take the knife and kill Yitzchak. While Hagar vayatashleich et hayeled, she put forth the child. She threw the child down. Again, another comparison that I don't think one can miss. They both have angels who speak to them. The angel speaks to Avram, telling him not to go through with it. The angel speaks to Hagar, both in the previous time of Lech Lecha and also in Vayera, and incidentally, again, supporting the nature of Hagar as being not such a bad person. There's a Medrash that says that Hagar regularly spoke to Malachim. You see, she did it in several cases, and they say they were different Malachim, not all the same Malachim who spoke to her. So Hagar was regularly speaking to Malachim. Someone who's so terrible could be like that. Someone who'd go back to her Avodah Zarah could be like that. Sounds something very strange. We pointed out as well, Malach spoke to them, but it's interesting, in the case of the Malach speaking to Abraham, it says, who spoke to him? It says, a Malach Hashem. By Hagar, you will note, it says, a Malach Elohim. Now, it makes sense. In the case of Akedas Yitzchak, it should say Malach Hashem, because it was God's attribute of mercy being shown by sparing Yitzchak. And Mefarshim asked the Shaila, why is it that it says Malach Elohim in the case of Yishmael? After all, so there too, it should be Malach Hashem, God's attribute of mercy, saving the mother and child. So I've seen different answers, but I suggest the answer is simple. It's because of what we said before. It's because of that Rashi. That because in the future, even though we're going with the view that now he was not a Rashi, according to some, but in the future, indeed, he would cause inui, affliction to the Jewish people because of what Sarah had done to Hagar and Ishmael. Because in the future he would do this. So that's why this was an attribute of Elohim, of divine judgment upon the Jewish people. It might have been mercy in the small picture of saving Ishmael and Hagar. But in the bigger picture of the history of the Jewish people, this was a rendering of judgment. And thereby it is perfectly appropriate that the word Elohim should be used in this particular scenario. It's interesting as well that we are told by Avram Avinu, when he is told that now God knows that he has fulfilled what he is supposed to do. And when he's told to stop, he says, Ki yare Elohim ata. Yare Elohim ata. Now I know that you are one who fears God. In the case of Hagar also, you have somewhat of a language like this, right? The angel says to Hagar, Al tiri, don't be afraid. By Avram it says, I know that you are one who fears God. You do fear God. To Hagar, he says, don't fear. Again, interesting, Abraham does fear. Hagar is told, don't fear, like you don't fear. Again, we have this interesting contrast between the two. Basher Husham, we've said, refers to both of the things of the Beis HaMikdash. You're told by Avram Avinu, of the case of the Akedah, V'harbeh arbeh et zaracha, that Yitzchak will become many in his seed. He will become a nation. And so too, we are told by the case of Hagar, as we have mentioned, Ki goy gadol asimenu, that you will become a great nation. Obviously a clear parallel. We are told that Abraham saw the ram out of nowhere. And so too, Hagar saw the well out of nowhere. Both were created, we said, at the time of Ben Hashmashos at creation. And finally, where we know is it comes out so clearly that Yishmael is called Yishmael, we said in the simple sense that we saw initially in the text where it says it, that you have a son, Yishmael, because God listened to the voice of the Na'ar, Yishmael. So at the very end of the Akedah, it says that Avram is being rewarded, Ekev Asher Shamata Bikoli. By the case of Hagar, it's that God listens to the voice of Yishmael. That may be, you know, we see as the non-Jewish, if you will, approach. As opposed to here, where it says, Avram listened to God's voice. Interesting parallel. There it's God listening to Yishmael. Here it's Abraham listening to God. What an interesting parallel. Aya Leibowitz, the thinker, described once the difference between Judaism and other religions in the following way, and he gave Christianity as the primary example. He said that by the case of Christianity, their main symbol is the cross. What does the cross represent? The cross represents that God died for me. God serves my purposes. God atones for my sins. In our case here, God hears the voice of Yishmael and helps him and serves his needs. It's pointed out by Leibowitz that the Akedah, he exclaimed, is the greatest symbol in Judaism. If we had to have a symbol, it's the Akedah. Because there it's God doesn't serve my needs. I serve God's needs, even if it means killing my own son. That's why that's the difference of Judaism versus that, let's say, of Christianity. And I'm pointing out, Leibowitz doesn't say it, the perfect parallel to that idea here. By Yishmael and his being heard by God, so in that case, it's God serving the needs of the person. But here, by the vision of what Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and our Masorah would have going in this direction. It's the notion of we listening to God, not God so much listening to us. And that's the Ikar, no matter what the ramifications are throughout history, that we are listening to God and doing His will, and that is what we are supposed to do, even though it may not be easy for His will to be achieved and His name to become known on this earth. But yet, that's what we have done and must continue to do, the Jewish people. In the Torah Chaim, Daf Kaf Bet, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik points out, answering a different question. He was asked, why is it that we give so much credit to Avraham Avinu, this is a famous question, for taking Yitzchak and going and killing him? I mean, is it really such a great thing? Don't we know that throughout Jewish history, Jews have given their lives and the lives of their children for the Ribono Shelam? So what's the big deal that Avraham Avinu did it? And some answer that the big deal is that if Avraham Avinu would not have done it, that would not have given the strength to future generations to do it. But there are others who say differently. Rav Chaim says as follows. He says that the difference is that when Avraham Avinu was being told to kill Yitzchak, so with Yitzchak did not just go his physical child, but it went all of his spiritual goals and dreams as well. With the death of Yitzchak, Hayamuchan Abraham Limsor Lo Rak et Chayevino. He wasn't just giving up the physical life of his son. Elet Kol Olamot Shinat Nulo Lekla Yisrael. But he was giving up every world that would come to him in the spiritual sense. The Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and the world to come. All these worlds of the Spirit, which would be given to the Jewish people, would be gone, because there would be no Jewish people, because Yitzchak was going to be killed. That's what Rav Chaim says, that's why it was so great, what Avraham did, when he did not know that there would be a Jewish people thereafter, and that's what makes him distinct from the others that came after who were willing to give up their children as well. But what I'm pointing out is, using Rav Chaim's answer, is that this would tell us that really, Akedas Yishmael and Akedas Yitzchak, they were both terrible for Avraham. But one, Akedas Yishmael, was basically the taking of his son physically, where Yitzchak, that involved the taking of not only his son physically, Yitzchak, but also of taking the spiritual future that went along with Yitzchak. And thereby that is why it is to be considered the 10th test and a greater test than Akedat Yishmael. In conclusion, what we have learned then is that far from the Akedah of Yishmael being just some story in the reading of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it is in fact the major narrative of the day, the very reason we are reading this portion. We are then looking for insights in the events of Yishmael, not Yitzchak, when we read this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We're not looking for insights into the birth of Yitzchak or something about Yitzchak. We are looking into insights concerning Yishmael on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. In this light, the reading should be seen as two sides of the same coin. They have the same basic theme. The first day we read of Akedat Yishmael. The second day we read of Akedat Yitzchak. The sequence moves from the most difficult test that Avraham would face up until that point to a seemingly impossible one that was yet to come. But one narrative is parallel to the other, which is indicated by both the similar subject matter and the effort, as we have pointed out, that the text goes to in order to incorporate similar words and concepts in creating what I have called an echo or a whisper of one of the other. And why should this not be the case? Since Rosh Hashanah is described not as 2 days, but as Yom HaRichta, as one long day, so why shouldn't the theme be essentially the same for this one long day? The theme, both themes, involved endangering the lives of children, of Abraham's children, both of whom he loved dearly and both of whom he had awaited for a lifetime. Both involved a command from Hashem that Abraham chose to follow, despite the fact that such commands once again went against everything that he believed in, against his very nature as a Baal Chesed, as a loving person, which was his unique personality and quality as the founder of our people. Ultimately, despite the difficulties that are imposed upon Abraham Avinu, his devotion to Hashem allows him to triumph and acquire the blessings which he deserves. Which is why perhaps we do not read the story of the creation of man in the Parsha of Bereishit on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? What could be more obvious than that this should be the Torah reading for this holiday of Rosh Hashanah? But no. Because the very day man was created, he already sinned. And he already was cursed as a result. Chazal, in their wisdom, wanted to inspire us and not condemn us. We already have the Satan, who is quite willing and able to do that. To be sure, as we have pointed out, there were mistakes made, even by Abraham and Sarah. There were errors made in this particular situation of Ishmael especially, as well. But nonetheless, despite these mistakes that can be made by anyone, ultimately the point is, Chazal chose the readings that represent the two greatest tests of Abraham, where man triumphed and did not fall, and where man was blessed as a result and not cursed. So too, may we merit to triumph against the challenges that face us, as our father Avram Avinu did. May we learn important lessons from those experiences, grow spiritually in their wake, and consequently, may we also receive God's blessings for life and for peace in the year ahead.